Today's Shi'ez Masechta Erev and Daf Chaf Beis. We will begin on Daf Chaf Aleph on the Beis, seven lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara Amar of Hamnuna. Ma'idik Siv the Pasuk says in Melachim regarding Shloima Melech. V'yedaber Shloishes Alofim Moshal. Shloima Hamelech spoke 3,000 Mishalim analogies. V'yishiroi Chamisha Chamisha Melech, and he was singing. Three things are 5,000 songs. Melamed, Shlomo, Shlomo, Kol Dova, Dova, Shal Torah. On every halach in the Torah, Shlomo HaMelech recited Shloshes Alofim Moshal, 3,000 reasonings, the Kol Dova, Dova, Shal Soifrim, and on every Derabbanan, he said Chamisha Ve'elef Tamim, 1,500 reasonings for every Derabbanan. Why is it called Shiroi, which is sort of difficult, explains the Rishash. The Torah is not a song, but explains the Rishash that the reason Shlomo HaMelech felt that we should understand the Rabbonans, because we need to explain them in a way that the people should be ready to accept them. And by saying them as a shir, that it makes, in saying it in a way that it makes it enjoyable, that's when people will appreciate them. So Shlomo HaMelech recited so many explanations, but he said he gave the explanations in a geschmack way, in a pleasant way, in an interesting way, because by doing so, he was able to achieve that people should appreciate the Torah that we are learning. Darsh Rava Mai Diksiv, V'yosha Shoyah Kehelas Chacham. Besides that, Kehelas were a tremendous Chacham. Oy lime das am, he taught people knowledge, izen v'chike tik mishalom harbe, and he instituted many mishalom. Explains the Gemara, lime das am, he taught people das, digmere b'simonim tamim. He gave, so I saw two pshat, and one pshat is as we've been learning in our shiur today, he gave explanations to the Divrei Torah, and because he gave explanations to the Divrei Torah, people were accepted them better. Another explanation that I saw is that he made the Tamei HaMikra, the way we read the Torah with the different Tamim, which again makes the Torah much more interesting and much more lively and much more acceptable to be learned. The Asbra B'Mai D'Domalei, and then what a Talmud Chacham is supposed to do is he be Makish Dover L'Dover. If a question comes up, it isn't always possible to have the explicit answer to every question. But what did Shlomo HaMelech do? Shlomo HaMelech, who was such a tremendous Talmud Chacham, was able to compare different subjects and learn what the halacha is from one subject to the other. Continues the Pasuk, describing Shlomo HaMelech. V'izein v'chiker tikei mishalom harba. Omer ula omer belezer. What does the izeh mean? Izeh means like ears, like candles. Tchila ha'isa Torah doymel k'fifash ein lo oznayim. At the beginning, the Torah was like a basket that doesn't have handles. A basket which is doesn't have handles is hard to carry and it's possible to fall. Achaba Shlomo v'asalom oznayim. Shlomo HaMelech made different rules, and because of making different rules, that gave the Torah a kiyum. And that's why, as we learned in our previous shiur, Shlomo HaMelech was the one that instituted Eruv Chatzeres. Shlomo HaMelech was the one that instituted the Tehillas Yadayim. Shlomo HaMelech was the one that instituted Shnius L'Rayis, women who are technically not Osama D'Raisa for us to marry, but Shlomo HaMelech said we may not marry them. All of them were halachas that were there to strengthen the halachas in the Torah. Another pshat that I saw from the Or HaMeir, that what does it mean he made oznayim l'Torah? That just like our ears help us hear, and we are able to hear and understand what we are listening to, until Shlomo HaMelech made the various takonis and the various mishalim that he gave, it was difficult to understand the Divrei Torah. But once Shlomo HaMelech instituted these Divrei Torah, it became much simpler to understand the Divrei Torah. They were like ears that were able to hear what's said to us. Here too, we were able to understand what was said to us. The pasuk says in Shir HaShirim regarding Torah, Kvod Tzoysof Taltalim, his braids are Taltalim. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Omar Rav Chisda Omar Marukva, Melamed Sheyesh Lidrash Al Kol Koitz V'Koitz, Tilei Tilim Shel Halachos. On every tag, on every crown in the Torah, we could learn many, many Divrei Torah. Shchayrus Kairiv. In other words, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Shemayim, he saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was putting tagim, he was putting crowns on the letters of the Torah. And he asked, what are the purpose of those crowns? Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained to him that there will be Chachamim, Rabbi Kiva, and there will be Chachamim in the future generations that will use every one of those letters to learn Divrei Torah. The pasuk continues in Shir HaShirim saying, Shchayres Ka'irif, B'mi'at Ha'moitzen, who is the one that is zoicha to understand Divrei Torah, says the Gemara, B'mi Shemashkim Amarav Alein L'Beis HaMedrash, somebody who is comes early to shul, stays late in Beis Medrash to learn. That's Shchayrus. Shchayrus is from the Lashon Shachris. Rav Amar, B'mi Shemashka Panav Aleim Ka'irv. Somebody, we know that a raven is a bird which is black. Somebody whose face turns black from learning Torah. That means he doesn't have anything else in life, just devotion to learning Torah. Rav Amar, that he's cruel, so to speak, on like the raven is. Kihadar of Adaba Masna Bakazalbe Rav. Vadaba Masna was going to Yeshiva. Omoy Devisu and his wife asked him, Yanukididoch Ma'avadlhu, what will I do with your children? How will I feed them if you're not here and you're not bringing any panos into the home? Omloy, Mishlimla Kurma Agma, aren't there different foods in the swamp? You could give them grass, vegetables. I have to learn. And that's pshat in the pasuk that we say every day from Tehillim. Noisim levehema lachma levnei oirev ashir kro. Levnei oirev, the bnei oirev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the food. So of course, this is a difficult gemara to understand, the cruelty that seems to be coming out from Adav HaMasna. So I saw from the Likutim Yekorim that there's a different pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara Masechet Kedushin, Daf Pei Beis Omer Aleph, brings what Rav Shimon ben Elazar teaches us. Rav Shimon ben Elazar teaches us, Re'isa Miyamecha, did you ever see, says Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Chai Va'oiv Sheshlam Umnes, Umespanes and Shalai Betzar, did you ever see an animal that has a profession? Animals don't have profession. Yet Mespanis and Shlavitzar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them Panosa. V'haloiloi nivra elishem sheni. They were brought to the world to help serve human beings. V'ani nivreisi l'sham shiskoini. I was created to serve Hashem. In addition to Mespanis Shlavitzar, I certainly should have Panosa without any difficulty. Elisha heroisi es masai v'kipakti es panososi. By not doing what I'm supposed to do, that's why I lost my Panosa. And that's what we say every morning, three times a day, when we say Krishma, Nasati Esev Besotcha Levam Taltcha. You should give animals. Why is it so important for us to feed the animals? Because by feeding the animals, we recognize that all Panosa comes from Hashem. And when we recognize that Panosa comes from Hashem, it will change our entire life. And that's why it's important to mention that factor every single day. And that's what Rav Adav HaMasna meant to do in our Gemara. What Rav Adav HaMasna meant to do was not chas v'shalom be cruel and not be concerned about his children. Chas v'shalom. What he meant to do in our Gemara was say, let's learn the lesson from the animals. Let's go out to the swamp where there are animals. And like that, we'll learn. Now we can understand, there's a minig, and the Sefer V'Yogel Yaakov explains that on Shavuos, we put out grass trees in our homes and in the shul. Because Shavuos, which is the yontif of Kabbalah Satayra, so somebody's going to start thinking, Kabbalah Satayra, if I'm going to spend my time learning, how will I have panosa? But if we put out the grass, and we say that just like the animals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares for them their food with the grass, so too we put out grass on Yontif to show on Shavuos, so we will learn Torah and we will not have to worry about Panosa. Why will we not have to have Panosa? Because just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Panosa to the animals, certainly He will give us Panosa. And that's why we understand that the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, teaches us Batzeres on Shavuos Nidoinen Al Peiros Ha'ilan. And the question is, why specifically is Shavuos the Yontif that we need in Al Peiros Ha'ilan? What's the connection between Shavuos, which is the Yontif of Kabbalah Satorah, and Peiros Ha'ilan, the fruit that grow from our tree? What's the connection between those two Yom Tovim? The answer is the lesson that we're learning in our Gemara. The lesson that we're learning in our Gemara is that on Shavuos, which is the Yom Kabbalah Satorah, we're supposed to learn the lesson from grass that are fed to animals, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives everybody the panosa that they need to have. And that's why we should not be reluctant to learn Torah, because we will have panosa anyway. The Gemara continues. The Pasuk says, U'mishalem, the sign of upon of Lavida. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Levi. Imolim mikra kosef. If not, that there was an explicit pasuk. It would be impossible to understand this. Kaviyachol kadam shenoyse masa upon of. It's like a Kadosh Baruch Hu is carrying a burden. Vakish lashlicha memeno. And that's why a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the rishoyim their schar for whatever they do that deserves reward, because a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to get that packet off his back, kaviyachol, and then they'll get punishment in Olam Haba. Lo yachol sonov, amar l'sonov, hu de lo yachor. For it's a rishoyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't delay in paying them their schar. Aviyachol tzadikim. Tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tzadikim gemurim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't necessarily give tzadikim gemurim their reward in this world. V'anidom Rav Shub and Levi, ma'idik siv. The pasuk says, "Hashanoichem tzavcha hayoyim la'soysam." Hayoyim in this world la'soysam is the time for us to do the mitzvahs. V'loy l'machal la'soysam, but not in the after one leaves the world, he can't do mitzvahs anymore. Hayoyim la'soysam, while we're in this world, we could do the mitzvahs. U'machal kabos charam, the schar will come in the next word. So our Gemara is teaching us the very important halacha that there is no necessarily schar in this world. The schar comes in the next world. The pasuk says the Chofetz Chaim, "Ashias oisa adam v'chai behem v'ani Hashem." And we just learned v'chai behem loyelam haba ani Hashem neman l'shalom schar. That's how Rashi explains the pasuk in Chumash. And that's what the Gemara Masechta Kedushin, the Flama Tessa Amar Aleph, teaches us. Schar mitzvah b'hai al malekah. People don't get schar for their mitzvahs in this world. So, explains the Chofetz Chaim that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu neman l'shalom schar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does pay us the schar, but the way it works is as follows. He says, if somebody has a document that the king owes him money, you can't get that document paid only in a bank that has that kind of money that the king could pay. So that's why a mitzvah that a tzaddik does is of such great value, says the Chofetz Chaim. There is no schar in this world that can equal the reward for those mitzvahs. Whereas the mitzvahs that Rishoyim do, even if they do a mitzvah, it's not on that same level. And since it's not on that same level, so that kind of payment you could have even in this world. The Kedushas Levi explains. The Pasuk says, V'atam advekim Hashem alakechem, chayim kulchem hayoyim. So he says that certainly if somebody does mitzvah or learns Torah, he deserves, as our Gemara says, the schar in the next world. However, when somebody learns Torah, somebody does mitzvahs, then he gets Yiras Hashemayim. Yiras Hashem, hein Yiras Hashem hi chokhma. Through the chokhmas haTorah explains the Kedushas Levi, we get Yiras Hashemayim. So that's what he says. V'atam advekim b'Hashem, l'keichem chayim kolchem hayoyim, by us learning Torah, we become connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because we become connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the schar that we get in this world. The Divrei Yisrael says, we know that there's a famous statement, Ki toif sachra mikol schoira. There is no better business, so to speak, than the business of Torah. So he says that normally people who do business, they do business and they borrow money and they do business and they get product on credit. And that's what he says. Hayoyim la'soysom, machal kabos charam. When you're doing business with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can be confident that you will get paid. And that's why kitayv sachra, you will get paid tzchar, and that's why kitayv sachra, because tzchayra, it's the best payment you could ask for. The Medrash teaches us that kamash yisrael oichem b'olam hazeh, all that we have in this world, all the tzchar we have in this world, ein oichem b'shvil hamuna, it's only for the amuna. Because I saw the Sefer Matama Yitzchak explains. The Pasuk says, Lesolon pulascha socher, the one is obligated to pay his employees in a timely fashion. So how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu delay paying us until the Olam HaEmes? So the answer is that halacha about tolin, that you're not allowed to delay paying your employee, is only if the employer hired the employee directly. But if the employer did not hire the employee directly, so then there's no din of baltolin. So that's what it says. The Medrash says, the Gemara says, Masech Tamakis, Daf Chof Gimel Amid Beis, Dor Shep Suloi, Tarig Mitzvus Nemer L'Moshe M'Sinai, Shenemar, Toirot Sivalonu Moshe. Ask the Gemara, the word Torah is not the Gematria 613, Taryag. The word Torah is Gematria 611. So the Gemara answers, Anoichi v'lo yilcha mepi agvur shemana. The first two of the Saras Adibris, Anoichi v'lo yilcha, which represent Amuna, we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now he says, beautiful pshat. All other mitzvahs, which we did not hear directly from Hashem, we could wait, there's no din about tolin, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol could wait to pay us until we get to the Olam Haba. However, the mitzvah of Amunah, which we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since we heard those mitzvahs directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the din about tolin applies. And since the din about tolin applies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give us a schar immediately. And that's what the Medrash says, Kamashi Yisrael Oichlam Ba'olam Hazeh, Ein Oichlam El B'Shvil HaMunah, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to pay us immediately. But then I saw from the Sefer Das Sholem a whole different pshat. He says that people have this tendency to say, tomorrow I'll start learning. Tomorrow I'll start davening better. The Torah says, on the contrary, Hayoyim La'soysom. Whatever we're able to do, do right away. Umachar, you know what you should delay? L'kabel schar. Activities that we do for enjoyment, activities that we do to have olam hazeh, that we can wait for machar. But hayoyim, what should we not delay? Anything that comes to do mitzvahs. However, even though we're learning that hayoyim la'soysam or machar l'kabel scharam, there are certain exceptions. One is that a mitzvah that you're not obligated to do, but you do it anyway, that mitzvah you get schar b'chai alma in this world. And that's why the Bnei Yisachar, quoting the Chidah, says, Moshe Rabbeinu was so anxious to enter Eretz Yisrael, because it was a mitzvah that he wasn't obligated to do. And he knew that if he does it anyway, he'll get schar. The Sefer Zerah Berech explains that any mitzvah one does with mesiris nefesh, he gets olam hazaf for. And the other mefarshim say that the Prima Godim says that somebody who's a mezakas a rabbim, somebody who goes out of his way to help the community, he gets schar b'hay alma as well. Am Rav Chagivi Temer of Shmuel Nachmeni, Ma'idik Siv Erech Apayim, which is a Loshon Rabbim, Erech Af Mi Boilei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an Erech Af. What's the Erech Apayim represent? Ella Erech Apayim LaTzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give them the Schar or the Oynish immediately, Erech Apayim LaRishoyim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give the Tzadikim the Schar immediately, nor does he give Rishoyim their punishment immediately. Sometimes he gives them tzchar in this world, and then in the Olam Haba, they'll get their punishment. So the question is, how does the word Erech Apayim make sense? Erech Apayim means that if somebody's angry, he holds back his anger. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding back the tzchar. So how does the Gemara use the word Erech Apayim to tzadikim? So explains the Sefer Mayan Echayim. It says a beautiful pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives tzaddikim talents and different abilities to do mitzvahs and learn Torah. And even if they do spend their lives learning Torah and do mitzvahs, they could have done better. People typically don't use out all of the God-given talents that they have to serve Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, has a complaint to us. Why didn't you use all of the koiches that I gave you to do what you're supposed to do? And that's the Erech Apayim. That even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you should have used all of your koiches, I will be meichel you, and I will wait that you should develop to use all of those koiches for avodas Hashem. We learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda taught us that Pasim Ros only could be effective for an area which is ad beis asayim, up to the area of a beis asayim. Ibailuhu. So they want to understand in the yeshiva how we understand this halacha that Yehuda taught us. Bar or pass and comer. That means that the entire area, the bar and the area around the bar, have to be a beis asayim and not anymore. Adilma, when we speak about the base of Sayim, we're speaking about the bar for Loi Pasen Kama. We're speaking about the pit alone, and we're not speaking about the area around it. Now, the Gemara explains what is the basis of this question. Do we say that a person who's making Pasi Baros is primarily making it for the water pit? And Adam Noisa and the bar, the heter is for the bar that has the water. And why is Rabbi Yehuda limiting it to a beis asayim? For as we're going to learn a mitzvah shem in tomorrow's shir, the halacha is that a karfif, a field, your shleihukah fladira, that isn't meant for dwelling, you may not carry in it if it's larger than a beis asayim. So we're concerned that if we're going to allow you to carry here, you may come to carry in a karfif, which is larger than a beis asayim as well. So here, the bar is what's the main factor you're looking at. And therefore, as long as the bar is less than a beis asayim, you're not going to make an error. That if you're going to come carry in a karfif, which is yosef beis asayim, but karfif to alma. Oidoma, or perhaps the way we need to be concerned, says the Gemara, is Adam Noisen Einam B'chitzosai. The person doesn't look specifically at the water pit. He looks at the entire enclosed area. And therefore, if the entire enclosed area is larger than a base of Sayim, Gazrinan, we need to make a Gzeira, Dim Oslo Chfufei, Yosem Beis Sayim B'karfif, that you're going to make a mistake and you're going to carry on that area, in that area as well. Toshma. So the Gemara answers. The Brisa says, Kamayim Mekurovim, how close can we make these passive rows, these corners, to the bar? Kedei, Rosh V'Ruba Shalpara. We said the amount of place that takes up the majority of a cow. The kamehem ruchakim. How far can we make it? A filu kor, a filu karayim. Even as large as a kor of karayim. Rav Yehuda im a beis asayim mutter. If it's the size of a beis asayim, it's mutter. Yes, a beis asayim, but if it's larger than a beis asayim, it's asur. Omloy Rav Yehuda. So the chachamim say to Rav Yehuda, iata moed a deer. Don't you agree in a deer? A deer is a place where animals dwell outside the city. The sahar is where the animals are inside the city. Muksa is a backyard. The chatzur is a front yard. Afilu chamishis kor and beis asara korim. Even if it's as large as 5 kor or 10 kor, shemuta you could carry there. And if you could carry there, even though they're large in a beis asayim, then why shouldn't the same halacha apply to pasi baraz? Say the chacham to Rabbi Yehuda. Amlehem, to which Rabbi Yehuda replies to the chachamim, mechitza. Here, all these areas that we just identified have partitions around them. Velu, but this area around the bar has only pasin, and that's why we have to be stricter. Rishimun ben Elazar, bar beis asayim, a beis asayim. If you have a bar which is the size of beis asayim mutter, then you could carry in the bein apasim. V'lohamru lecharkik el kadei rosh v'rubay shapara. You could only give the area outside of the bar of rosh v'rubay shapara. So we see from here that when we spoke of beis asayim, we're only speaking about the bar, not the area around it. Says the Gemara, hamidakamer Rav Shimon Elazar bar v'loy pasim. The Rav Shimon Elazar is the one that says that when we speak of Beis Asayim, we're speaking about the bar. Mechlal, obviously, the Rav Yehuda who disagrees with him, bar apasa kamim. That when we speak of Beis Asayim, it's the entire area may not exceed a Beis Asayim, says the Gemara V'lohi. That isn't the correct raya. Rav Yehuda that said that you can't carry in an area by Sasayim, was talking about bar b'loy kasim kamer. He's talking about the bar itself without the pasim. But ask the Gemara, so if he's saying that the area is the bar itself, and he's saying that's the, and Rav Shimon Elazar is also saying that it's the bar itself. So what is the machlokes? Ike benayu, says the Gemara, oruch v'katan. If you have a bar that is a rectangle, not a square. According to Yehuda, we look at the area of the bar. And as long as the bar is a base of sayim, then is less than a base of sayim, then this is acceptable. Whereas according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, not only does he not allow you to have bar that's bigger than a base of sayim, he's going to be makpid that the bar has to be a square. And concludes the braisa. Klal Omer Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Kol avish atashmisha ladira, any place which is meant for people to live, kagoyin dir v'sar or muks v'chotzer, the various areas that we explained a moment ago, afilu b'es chamishas karim v'es asaras karim, makes no difference how large it is, mutter. You will be allowed to carry there if it's properly, has the proper mechitzas, because it's a mokum dira, and when we speak about a mokum dira, there is no shear. That it's only there to be an area where you could have air. They used to make these huts for people who were in the fields that they should have where to remain. If it's a base asayim, then you could carry there. Yes, a base asayim, it's also, then you can't carry there. The Bir Halacha says what is considered where a place with a people just where the shomrim go. So he says it doesn't mean that the shomrim have to actually live there. As long as it's an area that the shomrim use, then it has that din. So there's a wonderful tshuva from the Marsham in Chelek Aleph Simen Ein Aleph. Here the Gemara is saying, at least according to Shimon Elazar, that when the Gemara gives a shear base of sayim, it has to be a square. And many times throughout Shas, Chazal gives shurim quite often. The shurim Chazal speak about are Dalad, Amis. So there too, will the halacha be that it has to be dalet al dalet square, or will the halacha be that even if it's not a square, as long as it gives you that amount of area, it has the same halacha? When does the halacha require that it be a square, and when does the halacha not require it? So he says, if the Gemara or the Mishnah just uses the words dalet ames, or just uses the words beis asayim, then it doesn't need to be a square. But when the Gemara or the Mishnah use the word dalet al dalet, or beis asayim or beis asayim, then it has to be a square. And he says, what's the raya? The raya is our Gemara. Because our Gemara just said that what is the machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon Elazar? Must the bar that's a beis asayim be a square or not? So he says, if we look at this Gemara, so Rav Shimon Elazar, the Gemara said, holds it has to be a square, and the Rabbanim don't require it to be a square. Where do we take that from? So he explains, because look at the wording, how Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Shimon Elazar express their opinions. Rabbi Yehuda says, beis asayim. Rav Shimon Elazar says, beis asayim al beis asayim. So that's an indication that since Rav Shimon Elazar used the word beis asayim al beis asayim, he meant a square. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, who just used the words beis asayim and not beis asayim al beis asayim, obviously does not require a square. Agamar continues in discussing the Mishnah continues discussing the pas baraz. So says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Em hoya derek reshus rabbi fachson, if there's an area that people travel through these Bein HaPasim, Yisal kenel etzdodim. You have to be very careful that people shouldn't walk through that area. Because if they walk through that area, they remove the category of it being a Rishus HaYochid. The Chacham hold, Ein Tzorich, it's not necessary, it's still going to be considered a Rishus HaYochid. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuachin and Rabbi Lazar Darmer Tavayu, Kan Hodiyachid Koichon Shal Mechitzis. The Chacham and Va'al Mishnah show us how powerful Mechitzis are. That even though the people walk through, still, since this area is partitioned properly with Mechitzis, it's considered a Rishus HaYochid. Ask the Gemara, Kan, it seems that that's what they're saying is, when we use the words Kan HaDiyacha, what it means to teach us, V'sirle, that not only are we learning that that's Dalocha, but that is actually, that that's what they hold, but actually that is Dalocha. Ask the Gemara, V'amar Rabba B'chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim, El Mole, Bal Sosan, Nolos, Belayla, if not for the fact that Yerushalayim had its doors closed every evening, Chayavan Al Mishum Rishus Rabbim. Somebody would carry in the streets of Yerushalayim would be considered like he's carrying in Rishus Rabbim. Even though Yerushalayim had a wall, the wall around it cannot serve as a proper mechitza, because people are constantly walking in the streets of Yerushalayim, and that's why us rabbim v'atl mechitzta. So we see that even though there are walls, the fact that people walk there take away that category. So we see from here, Kan, that we see that the Chum and our Mishnah actually hold the loy us rabbim v'atl mechitzta, but that isn't the halacha. So Tzvah explains that Yerushalayim must have had, going back to a discussion that we had earlier in our Masechta, what constitutes a Rishus Rabbim, that even if in Yerushalayim itself there were no 600,000 people living there, but since there were constantly people coming to Yerushalayim from all around the country and all around the world, it's considered a Rishus Rabbim. Only because it would be considered a Rishus Rabbim, only because it had these closed doors, does it not become a Rishus Rabbim? Of course, furthermore, says the Ritva, it has to be an area that people are constantly walking there. If they're not constantly walking there, then it just happens occasionally. The Ritva says that would not make it into Rishus Rabbim. Says the Gemara, Ramid Rabbi Yehuda, but do we have a steer in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Ramid Rabbanan, we have a steer in the opinion of Rabbanan. The Tanya. There's a famous Bryce that we often quote from Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, I can't Rabbi Yehuda. The Bryce begins where a person who has two houses on two sides of the street, on two sides of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and there's a bridge connecting those two houses. So everybody agrees that the area under the bridge is considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because we say good asik, and the walls of the bridge come down and completely halachically enclose that area that it should be considered Rosh Hashanah Yachid. But Rabbi Yehuda says, furthermore, you have this individual with two homes on the two sides of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Make two lechis. Or make two kairis at the edge of the homes. And then you could carry in between those two area, between those two houses in the street. And the Chum tell Rabbi Yehuda, That street is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And by putting up these two lechis and putting up these two kairis, you can't take away the status of Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So now, what do we see? That Akash Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbanan, because people are constantly walking between those homes, it's still considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned with people walking between those two homes. So in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda held that people walking take away the status of Rosh Hashanah Yochid. And here he says that it doesn't. And Kash the Rabbanan the Rabbanan. In our Mishnah, the Rabbanan held that people walking there don't make a difference. And here, they're saying it does make a difference. Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda like Kasha, the way we reconcile Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Hasam the Ikishtei Mechit Smal Yisrael. In this case that we're describing, there were two homes on the two sides of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And since there are two homes on the two sides of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so therefore it's considered full-fledged homes. Whereas, Hacha, in the case of our Mishnah, the Lekashtech Mechitzes Mal Yisrael, there aren't two full-fledged Mechitzes. We're only relying on Pasib Ras. There, since it's weak Mechitzes, Rabbi Yehuda will subscribe to the concept of Osir Rabbim Avatel Mechitzta. The Rabbanan, Loikasha. Hacha, Ikashem Abba Mechitzes. Although they're only Pasib Ras, but the Pasib Ras create four full-fledged Mechitzes. And therefore, when you have four full-fledged Mechitzes, we don't say Osir Rabbim Avatel Mechitzta. Hasam, whereas the case which Rabbi Yehuda is referring to, Lekashem Arba Mechitzes. There are two Mechitzes. They're good Mechitzes, but there are only two. And therefore, since we're only starting with two Mechitzes, that's why we can't say Us Rabban Vatam Mechitzta. Of course, the question that the Rishonim ask is that if we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that Daf Gimel, that there are opinions that hold that the Lechi and the Kair make a Mechitza, so then there are four Mechitzes. So you have to explain, say to Rishonim, that even though we'll say that a lechi kaira make a mechitza, but it's only an imaginary mechitza. And when it's only an imaginary mechitza, the rabbanon say os rabim umavatla mechitza. Amar Rav Yitzchak by Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan. Eretz Yisrael ein mechayov an olam shon shos rabim. There is no Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in Eretz Yisrael. Yosef, Rav Dimi, says the Gemara Rav Dimi was sitting, the Kamalah Shmatza, and he was repeating this halacha that was just stated. Amalai Baile Rav Dimi, my Tama, why are you saying that Eretz Yisrael is not ever Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Ilay Mishun the Makafla, because Eretz Yisrael is surrounded, Suma the Tzor, a mountain on one side, Mahakisa, or Machtana the Gror, and deep ditches from the other side. And since it's surrounded by mechitzes, then you can't, that's why it's not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And of course, says Rashi, the Gemara doesn't mean to say that if it's not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's Rosh Hashanah Yochid. What the Gemara means to say is that it's considered a Karmelis, which is only Osim B'drabonon, not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Asked Ritva, but we just had a discussion if two mechitzes are adequate. So ask the Ritva, even as we're saying that Yisrael has these two mechitzes, but there are only two, and how could we rely on that to make it that it shouldn't be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? So he says that these two areas that the Gemara just discussed aren't parallel to each other. they're actually like an L. They're touching each other. When did Rabbanan hold that two mechitzas aren't enough? That's when the two mechitzas are parallel to each other. But when the two mechitzas are in an L shape, even the Rabbanan will hold that it's adequate. Another explanation that I saw is that not just that these two sides were encompassed, but the Eretz Yisrael also has on the other side a yam, a river, and therefore it has three mechitzas. And when you have three mechitzas, even the Rabbanan agree that it's not a Rishus Rabbim. So ask the Gemara, Bavel Nami, if that's the way we're going to look at an area, Makav La Pras Mehagisa, that has Pras from one side, the Diglas Mehagisa, and the Hidekel River is on the second side. And ask the Gemara, actually, if you're going to think about it, the Kulam Nami, the entire world, Makav Okinus, is surrounded by the Atlantic Ocean. So how can we say that these types of mechitzas take away that it should ever be Rishus HaYochid? Answers the Gemara, Dilma Malus Amardus Kamras. What he meant to say was that Eretz Yisrael has mountains and ups and downs encompassing the area, and therefore, since it has that type of area around it, that's why it prevents it from being a Rishus HaRabim. Amalei, so Rav Dimi said to Abaye Akarkafano, you're a very special person. So I saw two pshatim. One pshat that I saw is that he said, you're such a great person that you were able to come to the same halacha that Rabbi Yochanan came to. Another pshat that I saw, that certainly Abaye never attended a shir of Rabbi Yochanan. But he's saying, you're such a great Talmud Chacham that even though you didn't actually attend the shir that Rabbi Yochanan gave, but you were able to figure out exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said, and it's as if you were at the shir. Et menami, the chiyasa rovin, amar Rabbi Yochanan, amalei amar Ravu, amar Rabbi Yochanan, malos amar the shabbat Yisrael, the different terrain around Eretz Yisrael, ein chayov alei mishum sarabim, yinat chayv shum sarabim, lefi enin gedigle migdo. We always use the midbar as the model of what is considered a Rishus HaRabim. And we know that in the midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Onon in front of them to smooth out the entire area. So from there we learn that something that should be considered Rishus HaRabim has to look like the midbar. And Eretz Yisrael, because it doesn't look like the midbar, is not considered Rishus HaRabim. So here our Gemara just taught us, the Gemara just said a very interesting point, that since the world is surrounded by the Okinus, so the entire world should not be considered a Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara indeed doesn't explain why indeed is that the halacha. So he says, so Taisa says that the Chachamim who hold Os Rabim Vatl Mechitzta, the law Os Rabim Vatl Mechitzta is only by man-made mechitzas. However, mechitzas which are naturally formed, there even the Chachamim hold Os Rabim Vatl Mechitzta. So therefore, even though the world is surrounded by oceans and canyons and rivers and whatever, but these are not man-made mechitzas. And if they're not man-made mechitzas, there is no, then even the Chachamim will agree that Os Rabim Vatl Mechitzta. Tosfos HaRosh has a different approach. He says that oceans and mountain ranges that surround entire countries are not considered valid mechitzas because they have to have the three conditions. You have to have a naturally formed mechitza. It's very large and it's osur rabim. When you have those conditions, then it can't be considered a mechitza. So now we're learning. The Ritva says that when it encompasses a very large area, then we don't say the natural mechitzas should be considered, non-man-made mechitzas should be considered mechitza. But what is considered a very large area? So says the Chaya Adam, he says it, that the shear is 16 amos. That if you're going to have an area which is between the mechitzas, between even these natural mechitzas, as wide as 16 amos, then we can't rely on mechitzas. So we see in our Gemara that Eretz Yisrael is surrounded by water. So I saw that the Divrei Yoel explains that why is Eretz Yisrael surrounded by water. So he says, when we think about water, we think about tahara, a mikveh, a ber mayim chayim, all represent tahara, to teach us that what Eretz Yisrael requires is a higher level of tahara, a higher level of kedusha than any other area. And the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed it to us and taught it to us is by specifically making Eretz Yisrael be surrounded by water, and to help us always remember that when we're in Eretz Yisrael, we have to be on a higher level of kedusha and tahara. Says, ask the Gemara, Bo'amine Rechava Mirova, Tayla Meslakat at Tzor Matoich Arba. If you have a mound that comes up to a height of 10 tefachim with a distance of 4 amos. It's machlokes rishonim, how we measure this distance. Do we measure it flat, or do we measure it on the incline? V'rabim boikimba. And many people travel over this mound. Chayavin alo b'rishos rabim. If you carry over this mound, are you chay for carrying rishos rabim? I ain't chayavin alo. Or cannot be considered a rishos rabim. What is the question? The question is, do the slopes make that it should be considered that's a considered Rosh Hashanah Yochid? Or, since it's Os Rabim, Avatl Mechitzta, it's still going to be Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Says the Gemara, leave the Rabbanon loy tibay look. According to Rabbanon, this is that the Rabbanon say that loy Os Rabim Avatl Mechitzta, this will certainly be Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Because the Gemara explains, Hashto Mahosam, if we speak about the case of our Mishta, the Nichet HaShmishta, it's the Pasabaraz, it's flat land where it's easy to walk. Amri Rabbanon, the Rabbanon, as we learned in our Mishnah, taught us, Loy Osu Rabim Omevat La Mechitzta. Hocha, so when it's an area on an incline, the Loy Nichet HaShmishta, where it's not so easy to walk, Loy Koshkein, that it's not going, that it, that will not take away the status of Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Says the Gemara, Kita Bailach, when do we have a question? I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Mai. Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the concept of Osu Rabim Mechatul Mechitzta. So ask the Gemara, maybe when does Rabbi Yehuda say that? Hosmu de Nichet HaShmishta, in the case of our Mishnah, where it's easy for the Rabbim to walk there. However, Hocha, in the case of a mound, the Loi Nichet HaShmishta, where it's not easy to walk, Loi Osu Rabim Mechatul Mechitzta. Oidema, we don't make a difference. Amalei, so Rav told Rav Chava, Chayovim. It's considered Rosh Hashanah Rabim. If you say that Os Rabim Vat Mechitzta, we will even apply to this type of area as well. So he says, Vafil Oil Nebechavim, what happens if it's so steep that you could only go up to it by holding on to rope, by holding on to a handrail? Amalei in. Even then, if the rabbim walked there, it's a Rosh Hashanah rabbim. So he asked him, what about a field by miles by Scharon, which are very steep, and people could only walk up that area single file? Amalei in, it's still the same halacha. Eisvei, ask Rechava, it says in a braisa, chotzer shirabim nechnosen lebezuv yoytzim zu, when you have a chotzer that people enter from one side, and they exit on the other side, Rosh Hashanah rabbim l'tumah, it's considered Rosh Hashanah for Tumah. We know that the halacha is that we learn from a Saita, that the Torah tells us that every Saita is a Safik. We don't know if she really had improper relations with another man. So the halacha is as follows, that if she was alone with this man in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so we say she's tar, we're lenient. If it was in a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, we're strict, she can't have relations with her husband. So says the Gemara, this area where people walk in the chotzer from one door and walk out the other door is considered as far as Hilchos Tumah Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But for Shabbos, it's considered a Shusha Yochel Shabbos. Mani, ask the Gemara whose opinion is being expressed here. Ilei me Rabbonon, it was saying it's the Rabbonon, Hashta. If we speak about people traveling between the Pasi Baraz, between these posts, still, Amri Rabbanon, the Rabbanon opinion is, Lo Yos Rabim, Umevatl Mechitzta, Hocha, Lo Nichte Teshmishtei. It's not as convenient. Certainly, Lo Kolshkein, that the Rabbanon will hold its Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Elalav, Rabbi Yehuda. This Bryson must be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda, and the Brice is teaching us that even though Rabbi Yehuda holds that also Rabbim Mevatel Mechitzta, when does Rabbi Yehuda hold also Rabbim Mevatel Mechitzta? When it's easily traversed, but an area which is not as easily traversed, he won't say this. Says the Gemara, Loi. The Brice is going according to Rabbanan. What's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim L'tom Mister Chalei. The Chiddush is that's still considered an area for as far as Hilchos Tumah Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Toshma. There's another Brisa. The Brisa says, if you have a Mavui, that at the entrance of the Mavui, there's a bar, a pit, sichemars, different type of pits, Rishus HaYochid L'Shabbos, the area is considered Rishus HaYochid. We're talking about a Mavui Mefulish, and the Mavui Mefulish has a pit at the opening, but obviously there's a strip between the pit and the wall of the Mavui through which you could walk into the Mavui. But it's considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim L'toma. So first the Gemara, B'Pairus, Sakadatach, it doesn't mean, Posh Pshat, what the Gemara means, the Brice meant to say, is that the Mavi is in a pit. Is that what, is a Mavi ever in a pit? Ela L'Pairus. Like we explained, the Rosh Hashanah Mavi opens up to a pit. And the Brice teaches us, it's a Rosh Hashanah Yochel Shabbos, and it's a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim L'toma. Again, ask the Gemara, Mani, Ilay Merabonon, if we're going to say that the Rabbonon considered Rosh Hashanah Yochid, of course, Hashta, if an Al Mishnah, or Ma Hasam the Nichatash Mishtei, where it's an area that easily walked through, Amri, still the Rabbanah hold, Loyos Rabbim Mavatale, Hacha, where you have this pit, and like I explained, there's only a narrow strip on the side of the pit to help you walk into the Mavi. So it's Loy Nichatash Mishtei, Loy Koshkein, that it will still be considered Rosh Hashanah Yochid. It must be it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, Elav Rabbi Yehuda. And we're learning that even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Osir Rabbim Mavatale Mechitzta, it's only when it's easily traversed, not otherwise. Says the Gemara, similar teretz as we learned before. Loi, loi lemit rabbanon, we're following the opinion of rabbanon. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is that as far as hilchos tumah, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim l'toma, Yisro Chalei, it's considered Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Toshma, a different, the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, shvili beis ha-gilgal k'yoyts b'em, the paths are beis Gilgal, where they had very steep slopes, Rosh Hashanah Yochel Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim l'toma. Ezeh Shvili Beis Gilgal. Ask them, where is that? Amri Debei Rabbi Yanai. Kol She'en Ever Yoch Little Sar Shal Chitin. If it's so steep, if the road is so steep that a slave can't carry a saw of wheat and run before the officer, it's considered too steep to be considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Mani. So again, ask the Gemara, who is this Mishnah following? Ilay Rabbanan Hashto Ma Hosom the Nichatash Mishtei by the Pasib Ros. Amri Rabbanan Os Rabbim Vatlam Mechitzta Hacha the Loi Nichatash Mishtei. It's very steep, like Koshkeit El Rabbi Yehuda. And we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that when it's a steep area, you can't make it into Rishus Harabim. Amalei Shvili Beis Gilgal Kamrit. You can't bring a ride from there. Yeshua Oyv Yisrael Haya. Yeshua, as he divided up Eretz Yisrael, loved the people of Eretz Yisrael, and he established roads and thoroughfares. Wherever it was convenient to travel, he gave it over to the rabbim. However, where it wasn't easy to travel, he said that that shouldn't be the highway. He didn't want to have difficult highways. And therefore, since these areas, these roads with a steep slope, were not made into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, they were kept as private property. They don't have, and people don't travel there. They're private property for private people. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that that's certainly not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But steepness alone, Rabbi Yehuda will not necessarily hold, is a reason to make that the area is not considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim.